I'm John Batcher with Ernesto Araújo from Brazil, now in North America with Joseph Umeyer, who is just back from Ecuador, which is the number two origin of people passing through the Darien Gap. Venezuela is number one, but Ecuador is number two. And why? Violence that has been in place for quite some time, but especially since the recent presidential election. Joseph, you're just back. Would you describe your visit there as fraught? Is there anger and anxiety in what you saw of Ecuador? Thank you.
Yeah, there certainly is a lot of anxiety. Ecuador is in a state of war. At least that's how the president has described it. And that's how he's basically carrying the message, especially after this referendum for add more security measures was voted on and passed by the Ecuadorian people. And being there, and I was specifically in a city called Guayaquil, which is probably among the more violent cities in the country. It's on the Pacific coast. It's a port city, but it's also a major commercial hub. It's probably one of the, I think it's the second, or maybe the most, or the second most populous city. And it's probably the top city when it comes to business and commerce. And Guayaquil, you could certainly notice just being on the streets there a little bit, you can notice the insecurity. I mean, there isn't a major shopping mall or restaurant or a retail service that doesn't have armed guards standing outside. You have to pass the metal detectors pretty much to get anywhere inside these major establishments. And most people realize that the insecurity is really on the rise. Matter of fact, when I was talking, this is kind of anecdotal, when I was talking to some of the Uber drivers in the hotels, they were telling me that they've had a huge decline in tourism and in customers over the last several months that is just starting to pick up in April this year. So you could see it. And then on top of that, John, they're also facing a tremendous electricity crisis. They're having blackouts pretty much several times a day for multiple hours. You have places of the country that will just go completely without electricity for up to 12 hours, half the day. So this is becoming a major problem. Pretty much everybody's investing into generators throughout the country. So the blackouts fueled also the insecurity issue because it kind of shows deficiencies in the management and the governing of the country. So in that, President Noboa, he's still popular. And I think he's still, after the referendum, the people are still giving him a chance to fix the situation, noting that he's new. He just came into office late last year. And he basically made a reshuffling. There's been a lot of reshuffling of his cabinet. He got rid of the electricity minister, the energy minister, because obviously the electrical blackouts were not working well. But in the security situation, he appointed a new government minister. And then the woman that was previously serving as both government minister and interior minister is now going to exclusively focus on the interior. What does that mean? That means he's adding more people to his national security team. He's bringing in a broader coalition. I got the chance to meet with some of these ministers, and I was impressed. I think that they're very knowledgeable. They know a lot about security. They know a lot about citizen security, public security. They're trying to bring legitimacy back to the public forces, particularly the police, who has been hard hit because of corruption. And so I think that we have to see how we can support them the best we can. They have a very hard task. They have, organized crime, pretty much the United Nations of organized crime inside their country. Places from far afield as Albania to Italy are actively in Ecuador, involved in all kinds of crimes. But I think the other part of this, and this was my message while I was in Ecuador, and it was my message to the ministers as well, is they have to look at this not just as a purely a challenge driven by criminal gangs in insecurity, but they have to look at this as a challenge on geopolitics as well. Because in the shadow of all this is a gentleman named Rafael Correa, who was the former president of Ecuador, was part of the Bolivarian alliance with Nicolas Maduro and Daniel Ortega and all these other criminalized states. And he is the person, I think, that also would be fueling the instability in the country because he benefits from breaking down Ecuador so that he can return. So I made sure that they understood the geopolitical context around this, and I think that they're open to that as well.
And your sense, Joseph, we started this program about the Americas Act proposed in Congress. I read from a statement from Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado about the Americas Act. Washington, D.C. U.S. Senators Michael Bennett and Bill Cassidy, alongside U.S. Representative Maria Salazar, Florida, Adriano Espaillat of New York, and Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, introduced the Americas Act to create an ever-expanding and permanent trade partnership across the Western Hemisphere and counter China's growing influence in the region. The Americas Act is the only major strategic economic plan to counter China's geopolitical and economic power in the hemisphere and increase safety and stability to decrease regional migration. Senator Bennett goes on to say, no region has greater ties to the United States than the Western Hemisphere. Yet in recent years, we have failed to offer the region a compelling economic alternative to China's growing influence. This bill changes that. It creates an opportunity for the United States to renew our partnership across Latin America and the Caribbean, strengthen the rule of law, deepen economic prosperity, and embrace our values in a shared struggle for democracy. The Americas Act, in Congress right now. Joseph, would American investment in Ecuador change the atmosphere?
I mean, yes, of course. Investment always helps spur some of the security concerns. However, it's kind of a chicken or egg thing, because you're not going to get investment if people are worried about this level of insecurity, and especially in cities like Guayaquil. So you have to have some level of order restored inside the country. It doesn't have to be completely secure. And then, to be honest, Ecuador never was completely secure, but it has to be marginally better than what it is today, so that you can spur that conversation about investment and you can get people to have investment to come into the country. There's a lot of advantages to bringing investment into Ecuador. It has one of the most diverse ecosystems, so you can have all kinds of tourism investment that could come inside the country. Most famously, it has the Galapagos Islands.
Yes.
And also, because of its geographic positioning along the Panama Canal and in the Pacific, it could be useful for nearshoring as well, if you're able to bring manufacturing into the country or other type of businesses that need, textiles or others that need warehouses. So that can happen. That would help. But the president and his team would have to bring some level of order greater than what it is, so that that conversation on investment can happen.
Joseph Omar, safely back from Ecuador. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,